Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, when we take a moment to reflect on our lives, it is easy to be grateful to you, Lord, for our life and for our opportunity to know and follow Jesus. Also, that we live in this wonderful and prosperous land. Thank you, Lord, and may we increase our thanks and our praise and our worship of you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Compared to many people who have lived generations ago, and compared to many people who live in the rest of the world, we are blessed and we are rich. Even though we have so much of everything, most of us want more of whatever it is, things that we own, or wealth, or more ease. And yet, too many people are addicted to all sorts of things, like a drug or a behavior. And, oh, just think how many people can't put their cell phone down. They cannot leave their phone at home even for an hour, even for a day. So is that an addiction? I just wonder. So, what do you think it is when something takes our time and attention other than God? Well, there are people who would say that that was an idol. It's a good question. And speaking of time, do you think we give 10% of our time to God? And that would be a tithe of our time. And of course, it's not required. It's just an indicator of what is important to us. Where do we spend our time? Not to mention our money. Well, I'm thinking of 2 Timothy 3:1. It goes something like, in the last days, men will love themselves, being proud and blasphemous boasters. Well, it says more than that, but that's an idea of unholiness, unloving, unforgiving people who seek pleasure rather than God, and they are full of lust and sin. Yes, I shortened the passage, but if you want to look at that 2 Timothy 3:1 through 5 for yourself, it's interesting and kind of like today. Well, maybe it's just me, but I put that together with Revelation 18 as being a consequence of 2 Timothy 3:1. It's behavior. It's behavior. And if you go a little further in Revelation to Revelation 21:3, it talks about those who will go into the lake of fire, the cowardly, the immoral, and all liars. And there's more to it, but that's the general. And if that's you, you just want God to transform you. That's what you want to have, a transformation into a holiness and a renewed, born-again mind and follower of Jesus Christ. And yes, we can renew that. We can renew our spirit in God Jesus Christ. Maybe you are one of the blessed people who were born again by an instant transformation, but most of us were born again into a new person in Christ over a period of time. And I think that's the normal thing for it to take time. But it is our goal, and we do want to be that born-again, Christ-following person so that we will naturally fit into heaven. And meanwhile, we go through life on this earth. I do know the testimony of people who have gone to heaven or had a heavenly experience, let's say, and it's an interesting little witness that we get to hear. Oh, and I think of Paul in Philippians 1:21, that it is gain to die. And so I guess we have to believe that. It's better to die than to live on earth. Well, for those people who have a testimony of heaven, they say they didn't want to come back to earth. They said heaven was so wonderful. So it's just a very interesting thing. And we, of course, want to stay alive. We love our experience in life on earth. We're not in a hurry to get to our so-called great reward, which is heaven. Well, the testimonies are interesting, and I do take comfort that heaven is such a wonderful place. So that is where we get to live forever in the presence of the great love of God Jesus. And that sounds wonderful, doesn't it? Yes, it does. Well, here's thinking of a death experience. I'm thinking of the difference between a sinner and a saint. And this was written by a crewman on the ship that brought the pilgrims to America in 1620. And it was the diary of William Barton. And he talked in his diary about the crew and the passengers. Both were dying at sea. And he wrote that those of the crew died like dogs, while the pilgrim passengers died like saints. And I thought that was a very interesting observation between the Christians and the non-Christians. And I found that passage many decades ago. And it was before I became a Christ follower. And it was one of those little things that stuck in my memory. And I thought about it. And I thought, sounds pretty good to be a Christ follower. So it's just the things that we learn over time, and they make a difference in our life. It's about our personal testimony and our personal relationship to God with Jesus. And it's an interesting thing to hear the testimonies. And some of the testimonies are from people who grew up in church. And some of the testimonies might be from a felon who went to prison and found Jesus. It's just all very interesting. And we are thankful for every soul that was saved from the fires of hell. And every one of us wants to be sure that we are going to heaven, because we know how very good heaven is, and we know how very bad hell is. So if you have ever looked death in the face, you know what a serious question that is, and you want it settled. You want the answer. You want to know for sure that heaven is in your future. And I think that's why there are several religious organizations that developed into a religion, because they gave an answer through a formula about how to be saved from hell. And if you follow that religious organization's formula, you think you are saved from hell. But the Bible tells us that we need the personal relationship with Jesus Christ to be a saved person, born again through the blood of Jesus. And that is what we need and want and follow. But all through time, there have been people, men, all sorts of leaders, or pastors even, or the heads of countries, or heads of armies, and they have kind of manipulated this formula to allow them to lead people, many, many people. They have found the formula. And so that's what they do. They organize people and organize the energies of people so that they can accomplish earthly things. Yeah, that's what people have done. Kings have done it. Pharaohs have done it. Religions have done it. And famous historical figures have done this. They have accomplished much by organizing men. There's the Greek philosopher Aristotle, who had understanding of how to harvest the energies of mankind, which is why King Philip of Macedonia called Aristotle to instruct King Philip's son, Alexander, who became Alexander the Great. So, at age 13, Alexander the Great was taught by Aristotle. And Aristotle taught some secrets to Alexander the Great, which he utilized to have the military powers of men organized to conquer most of the known world. Yes, it's a general statement. You know, it's kind of interesting. One of my children sometimes tells me that, "Dad, why do you say things that you cannot prove?" And I think about the hours of lectures that I have listened to or the books that I've read. I've certainly absorbed a lot, both through university and after university, as I continued to look and seek true information. So there's things that I just can't recall where they came from, and I do know that I seek a knowledge of the truth, and I only desire to speak the truth. But you get to discern what you hear, if it's true or untrue, if it's wisdom or not. And that's something that every listener has to do, to search out information. And that reminds me, thinking of my children, my wife would sometimes tell me, "John, you cannot lecture the children for hours." Well, in my recollection, it was for about 20 minutes, but who knows who's right. I do remember lecturing the children. Well, whether we have a correct or an incorrect understanding of history, we all get to study and discern things for ourselves. And that's what we do, no matter what. It's just that little search, it can take you all sorts of places. Okay, so back to Aristotle and Alexander the Great. Well, most of the people in history were indoctrinated into the mystery religions. And that was a tool that they used, and it was also a tool which used them. The mystery religions are pretty interesting, and they are secret organizations. I've been so glad that I have never become a part of one. By the grace of God, when I was young, I simply missed those invitations, so I'm grateful for that. But as I've searched for truth, I have seen the evidence of these, various organizations, and they seek to manipulate people and turn them into an energy that they can be manipulated with and through. Well, it's all a part of the truth. It's a part of truth, and the truth we want to seek and follow is God's eternal kingdom through Jesus. It's pretty interesting. We still struggle with these same kind of assurance that we want to know that we are a part of God's elect. And that reminds me of a publication. I just received this. I haven't read the article, but it says, "Who are God's elect?" That was on the front cover. And it's a continuation of this idea that mankind seeks the assurance of going to heaven. And often this is the assurances are given by belonging to a organization or a belief system or a church. Well, I don't mean to judge the article before I read it, but it was right there. And so this was flowing into my thoughts now as I'm talking, and they are worthy things of discussion. The thing is that we have to know that our salvation is with and through Jesus Christ, and that's where it comes from. Here's an example of what a person has asked a person. They would say, just imagine there you are at that so-called gate of heaven, and Jesus asks you, "Why should I let you into my heaven?" Well, how would you answer? I mean, that is a reasonable question. Is it based on something you did or something you know? And the trouble with those two answers is it is based on you, what you said or what you did. And that's not the correct way to think. The real answer is it is based on what Christ did. And he did it for you. God has done things through his plan of salvation through Jesus Christ, and we are so thankful for it. We have examples in history. For instance, if you look at the Hebrew history, you would have a certain understanding of tradition and why Jesus was a continuation of that tradition. For instance, in the Jewish Hebrew tradition, they for 1,000 years sacrificed thousands and thousands of sheep and other animals. And so the people have that example in front of them. And why didn't they see it when Jesus was the sacrifice? I just wonder about that. I wonder. Jesus was the blood sacrifice for sin. Oh, there's Hebrews 9:12. It says, Jesus is as the blood sacrifice. John 14:16 says that Jesus is the only path to God. And 1 John 4:2 says about Jesus being the sacrifice to take away the sin of the world. So we have scripture to back things up, but It's a gift. It's a free gift, and that's in there too. But as you know, if you receive a gift, you have to actually accept it and take it for it to be a gift given to you. If it's given to you and you don't pick it up and you don't take it, well, then you don't receive it. And I think that's a good similarity to God's gift to you of Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins, and we need to accept that gift to possess it. So, back to those, some Christian organizations, oh boy, they might talk about if a person can lose their salvation, or they might talk about if a person is saved, are they always saved? And that is a thought right from that, a question of who are God's elect. This is something that theologians have argued for a long time, and it's worth discussing. But we do want to be guided by the Bible as we go through this discussion. It is our cornerstone. It is what we depend on for understanding. Not the theologians. We seek the understanding of God Jesus, because he is our judge and he will tell us what applies to us. And of course, we're not to judge others in the matters of eternal destiny. And so we have to be real careful about, as we philosophize and have theories. Well, just make sure that whatever you're thinking is really lining up with the Bible, because that's the only thing that we really know, is what is in the Bible, and that is the truth. The Bible is the truth. It makes me think of the highway patrol troopers, you know, the police. If you break a law, you get the consequences, and the laws are written, and you can learn them, you can memorize them, and the law is based on keeping you and others safe. That's kind of like it is with the written Bible. It is written, and you can know it, but one day you can be judged if you break the laws and if you break the commandments of the Bible. You know that judgment will follow. And you know that God's judgment is perfect. So, you know, I think that's why men fear God's judgment, is because they know God's judgment is perfect, and perhaps they have been able to deceive men. But nobody can deceive God. He can clearly judge our heart and our mind. And so, yeah, I guess people would be afraid of that if they're hiding things, but... Oh, the patterns. Let's see, I just talked about that pattern of sacrificing animals to cover over our sins. And like I said, that was done over thousands of years by the Hebrew people. And so it's a pattern that we should be able to see, of the difference between holiness and us, and sin and forgiveness, and the covering of the sin by a blood sacrifice. And Romans talks about that too. Romans, let's see. In the beginning of Romans, that what advantage does a Jew have over the Gentile? Every advantage. And it's kind of like the whole book of Romans talks about something about that relationship with God in faith. And I think the message to really pay attention to is how we want to be holy and live according to God's goodness. And that's what we want, and that's why we need Jesus. I remember a long time ago I did learn a lot about Hebrew tradition from that book, The Signature of God by Grant Jeffrey. It gave a lot of good descriptions of Hebrew history and Hebrew tradition and the circumstances that were around the first coming of Jesus Christ. It was well written, good logic in it. So anyway, that's a good book to read if you're interested in that. I do wonder, with all that tradition, why the Jewish Hebrew people could not see that Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God. I think it is because of their traditions, that they learned the traditions of men instead of the Torah truth. It's my opinion, and I certainly would welcome anyone to disagree or have their own opinion, but we do have this question of what is in the Bible and what are the traditions of men that we learn. I know one of the traditions of men is about the tribulation rapture. Is it pre, mid, or post-tribulation? Oh boy, that's a big one, isn't it? A lot of people have an opinion about that. And I think that is usually learned from being taught. They are taught a position, and then they follow it. This is what I have noticed. Because I don't believe you can see a pre, mid, or post-rapture position from reading the Bible. And I know that I'd read the Bible through a couple of times before I was exposed to any religion, theology anyway, because I did it on my own. And I didn't go to any Bible classes or anything. And I know that for me, I understood that it was a post-tribulation rapture from my reading. But it's not that I was set on that. I didn't hardly even know about that. But that was a sensible position due to my reading. And I also am aware that now I'm aware that there were about 1,800 years where the Christian view was that the rapture would come after the seven-year tribulation. So it's a question. It's a question. What will it be, and what are we going to believe, and what does the Bible say? I still wonder about it, but in a way it doesn't really matter. The thing that matters is that we live faithfully to God through Jesus Christ. And of course, I think of, we will have tough times. I mean, look at history. There's always been rough times. It doesn't mean we're getting ready for going through any tribulation. It means that we do things because tough times happen. They've always happened in history. And there have always been natural disasters. And there has always been a reason to have food and supplies. I think of Corrie ten Boom. She was the famous missionary and writer and speaker. She was sent to a Nazi concentration camp, the Ravensbrück concentration camp, and she suffered there for years. In 1974, she wrote a letter from China to America's pastors, and she said that Christian missionaries had failed the Chinese Christian people. The American Christian missionaries had taught the Chinese Christians that they would be raptured before any persecution came to them, and thus millions of Chinese Christians were unprepared for the terrible persecution which they had to endure. From the Maoist communist revolutionary government. And then she quoted John 15:18, which includes Jesus saying, "If they persecuted me, they will persecute you." Now, in her letter, Corrie ten Boom cited the number of 200,000 Christians who had been martyred in the world in that year. And towards the end of the letter, she said, "There is no way to escape tribulation, and we will be next." So I wonder what she meant by us being next. I just wonder. Now, 200,000 martyrs is a lot, and some organizations say the number is far less. But any way you look at it, 200,000 is not that many compared to how many people die in the world every year. I think they have 60 to 65 million is the number, they say, of people who die in the world every year. So if you think about 200,000 deaths, it's not that big a percentage. But I will say that any brutal and unjust deaths are a tragedy. And we have deaths going on from disease right now. They say 4 million deaths have been from COVID in the last year. So we have to examine the statistics relative to what they are. And really the most important concern about the death count is for you and your loved ones. That's the most important one. So just make sure, do the best you know how, that you and yours have a personal born-again relation with Jesus Christ. Because the death rate for human beings is 100%. We all die. We're just unsure of exactly when and how. So again, your born-again relation with Jesus Christ. Remember that. And you know that you are going to heaven when you know that is based on what Jesus did. What Jesus did on that bloody cross. And that there's nothing that we can do ourself that makes us worthy to go to heaven. Salvation is based on what Jesus did, and it's a free gift, but we have to accept it. And I think it's what we do after that is to live like we mean it. So think about that one. Put it into an effect. There's quite a few reasonable points of view. Oh, yes, and there are, I just heard a point of view that saying the sinner's prayer does not put you on the path. Well, yes, the path. Saying the sinner's prayer does not get you into heaven. The point is it's something you did. I thought that was a very interesting view. And so, again, it's not what we do. It is what Jesus did, and we accept that gift. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. So much, so much, so much. And so we seek to know, to understand God, to love His Word, and love what He has done for us. I mean, this is just what we do. As Christians, He loves us and we love Him back. It's huge, that kind of love. And He tells us to love our neighbors as ourselves. First love God and then love our neighbor. In a way, it's a big thing. And in a way, it just comes naturally when we are so very loved. Well, we have examples of, you know, another example of salvation is the thief on the cross. If we think about the thief on the cross that was next to Jesus when he was crucified, they were both crucified, you have to think that that thief did not have a chance to do any works. And there certainly is no indication that he said the sinner's prayer. So we have to think, what is this then? Why are we saved? And what I think of is the condition of our heart. It is a heart condition that we turned to God. And that is what saves us. And if you want, you can look at the mysteries. There are mysteries. There are things we don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us everything, but we act upon what we do know. That's the idea. So that Bible is our book of instructions, and it is a good book. So let your heart be changed so that you want to love God back and respond to him. And certainly we pray to God for all sorts of things, and we ask God to hear our prayers. Isn't that pretty normal? Oh, yes, it is. Be thankful for all the things that he has for us. He has love for us, and God's will is that he does things. It is so amazing and so wonderful, and we want to act in life with wisdom and with the love of God, because, in a sense, we are the ambassadors of Jesus Christ to the world. And what a privilege that is! And there is responsibility with that privilege, too. As we seek to honor Christ and follow the biblical principles, I think of protecting life as a biblical principle and protecting the innocent. And that reminds me of a story about honoring Christian principles, biblical principles, such as protecting the innocent, or protecting your home, or protecting the land that your home is in. And so this is what I remember, a conversation with an Amish man. He was probably in his 40s, and he said, even if a man broke into his home and was intent on murdering him and his wife and his children, he would not kill that man. Why? I asked. And he gave me the answer. He said it was because his whole family knew Jesus, and when his family died, they would go to heaven. But because of that man's intent to murder, he obviously did not know God, so to kill him would mean sending him to hell. But if he lived, there would be a chance for him to know Jesus and to be saved and to go to heaven. So I thought that was a pretty interesting story. I sure did. I don't know that I could follow that in that way, but I'm sure there are people who have that huge heart like that for the unsaved. And well, you get to look and you get to decide where your position is in knowing the Bible and how you put it to effect in life. So read his word, read God's word, and try to understand it and live it. And in life, we do have all sorts of situations to deal with, because we live in this world, and there's every situation we could imagine, and we deal with things, and we deal with telling people the good news of the gospel through our testimony and how it relates to Jesus Christ. Every one of us has a testimony, and that's what we do. We that's a part of being a missionary to the world, and preaching the gospel. One way or another, we find it, we find how to speak, and we do. I think there's things that we want to preserve. We want to preserve our life so that we can preach that good news of the gospel and invite people into the kingdom of God. Now that's a reason for us to be careful of life and to want to have life and not do something that would shorten our life, which you think of the obvious ones, drugs and alcohol. But there's other things too. You know, nowadays there's the talk about, will that vaccine greatly shorten our life? And yeah, look at that. It's a real question, and there's real experts who speak on both sides of that issue. We don't want to shorten our life by eating bad food either. We want to stay healthy so that we can serve God and preach the gospel. That's biblical. We don't want to reduce our freedom by allowing laws to take over our freedom and be tyrannical in our life. That is what we want to do, because there is an enemy, and that enemy wants to take from us our wealth, our time, our food, our freedom, and our life. And we see that in the world. We see that from the Bible example, too. So, what we do is we try to protect ourselves so that we can serve God here on earth. And a part of that is using our hearts and our minds and using our wisdom. And a part of what we do is recognize the threats around us and act biblically on or against them. Boy, we have gotten accustomed to an easy life. Every one of us, like I was saying earlier, we get into these habits where we have a car for transportation. We don't have to walk everywhere. We don't have to feed the animals. We can get fast food if we want. There's just all sorts of things. But, oh yeah, and that cell phone. Keep that cell phone handy. Even if it gives you a radiation that is not good for your body. Well, we have to really decide who we are living for. Are we living for ourselves, or are we living for Jesus? And if we don't have the normal things that are the comforts that we have, like our coffee, for instance, I mean, if we go against the world's systems, we can be, what would you call that? We would have consequences. And they could, for instance, limit our electricity. They could, for instance, limit what we could buy in the stores. Oh, that's right. I just talked last week about what's going on in Australia, how those are limitations. They say they're easing up on them, but we will see what we see. Things are going on, and we have to be aware so that we don't get caught in that snare of losing our freedom and losing our ability to interact with people. Why? To share the gospel. That is what our purpose of life is. And we don't want our life shortened either. I just said that about the vaccines could shorten our life. Do I know it? No, I'm not a researcher. But I listen to the doctors who have comments, and they talk about it. Real doctors agree with the vaccine. Real doctors and researchers disagree with the vaccine. So, boy, that's a tough one. Well, we have real life to seriously consider, and that we ought to do. Look at everything and the great commandment of loving God and loving our neighbor. All these things we do. We want to preserve our life and our comfort. And a part of that is interacting with the the mechanisms of freedom that we have, like our government. And can our government do something about the 111 container ships off the coast of California waiting to unload? We are in a position where we could be wanting some very basic things and unable to have them. And that's us. That's Ezekiel, Ezekiel 3, I think. I'll have to think. But there is something about there being a famine in the land of the Word of God. And that includes a famine of food. And in that case, it's a famine of food, water, goods, all of that. And I think of that with the container ships off the coast. We are heading it end times. And I know one of the things I think about was the water. And in China, there's having terrific problems with floods. Their Three Gorges Dam is just about overflowing. And there are people who say the dam was built with improper materials, and therefore it was not as strong as it should be. They say the Three Gorges Dam could break, and if it did, that would flood everything. That would flood everything, and the Chinese people would starve, the people from other nations would starve. It's end-time stuff. That's what we are dealing with, lots of end-time stuff. One of the things is the Euphrates River is drying up. We're having floods and a lack of water at the same time in the world. The Euphrates River drying up is in Revelation 16:12, and we read about the angel that poured out his vial upon that great river, Euphrates, and it dried up so that the kings of the east could cross it. And so we are in a question of, could that be now? And the answer is, yes, it sure could be. The kings of the east with their 200 million man army, that's also mentioned in Revelation 9:16, a 200 million man Chinese army. And I think of them, if that dam breaks, if the famines in China continue due to flooding, they might just be marching to get food. And I think it's real. It's a real question. And last week, the Chinese Minister of the Interior, he told the Chinese people to stock up on food as a measure against food shortages. And also in case there was another lockdown due to a virus. So they did. The Chinese people went out and bought food, an extra week or a couple of weeks of food, and it made shortages everywhere. That's how sensitive our food delivery system is. So if you think there's going to be a problem and you're going to buy some food when there's a problem, I don't think so. I think you better get that food now. That food shortage can happen in any country of the world because we have a system that delivers food, but it's stretched to the limits when people start buying to have extra food. And the virus, China, there could be another China virus, or lately there's been quite a few people talking about smallpox coming back onto the world scene. And smallpox would make a very good biological weapon to kill a lot of people or to use against an enemy. And it's very devastating. And smallpox was eradicated from the world in the 1980s. So today there's no more natural immunity to smallpox, and there's no vaccines around to prevent smallpox. And it's said that there are only two laboratories in the world that still have samples of live smallpox. They are in the United States and in Russia. So what could happen? Oh, who only knows what could happen? But the smallpox has been talked about. It is something of interest. It could come again. Or there could be another coronavirus. See, that's another thing that's talked about. We could have another episode of lockdowns based on a variant of the coronavirus or any other virus. So if you want some food, it's a good time to get it. It's a good time to get it while you can. Like I said, I've been hearing about more talk about smallpox and other viruses being unleashed. There are people who want to reduce the population of the world on purpose. They think that people are a blight on the face of the earth and that we should eliminate the human population, at least most of it. What, is that 9 out of 10 or something? Or 8 out of 10? It's a tremendous amount that there are organized people who say we need to get rid of the human population on earth. Therefore, do what you can to preserve yourself. And a part of it is that food. Have your basic foods. I mean, just basic foods. And that's what the Chinese people were getting, was basic foods. Rice and cabbage, that was their basic diet. It would have been pork as well, but there was already a pork shortage in China. So pork simply continued to be unavailable. Yes, a demand for extra food would leave us all starving, no matter what the country is. Even America does not have extra food resources. We don't have much, that's for sure. So it is an increasing problem if we have to deal with food shortages. Yeah, that was Ezekiel 4:17. That's where it was. That if there is a famine in the world, no, if there's a famine of God's word in the land, there will also be a famine of bread in the land. And that would mean food and water. So, I mean, it's a biblical principle that it's a reason for why there are famines. Well, another thing we're just all concerned, well, some people are concerned about, is our great, big, huge national debt. And all we do is we keep spending our money until our debt is greater than our assets. Oh, and that's where we are today. We're nearly $30 trillion in national debt. And like Proverbs 22 says, 22:7, the borrower is servant to the lender. And you know where we are now. Everybody's in debt. Every government is. We are in debt personally with our house, with our credit cards, with all sorts of things. And, oh, now this is interesting. Well, I've heard this for a while now. It comes up from time to time, but I just heard it again. That we could trade everything we own to pay for our national debt and our personal debt. I think the first time I heard about that was that 2016 promotional video by the World Economic Forum. They talked about a great reset. And at the end of that video, it was stated, well, in the beginning and the end, you will own nothing and be happy. How would you like to own nothing and be happy? Well, it is a concept that has been proposed especially because of our great, big, huge national debt and our great, big, huge personal debt. And so it's been talked about for years now. And now I heard this Canadian journalist talk about it as being a plan being introduced to the Canadian Parliament, that all public and private debt would be wiped out, eliminated in exchange for all property. Yes, every property, from the forests and the mines to the houses and the cars, your house, your car, the place where you work, would all be turned over to an international entity, which they don't identify, but we know that that could be a part of the beast system. Just expect it. Well, therefore, every person would be required to relinquish the right to own anything or any property forever. That plan is called the World Debt Reset Program. The World Debt Reset Program. So, yes, are we ready for that? Are we ready to eliminate all our debt and own nothing and be happy? Well, it's a plan. It's a plan, and our debt is making us servants to those people who own the debt. There's going to be something coming, and I don't know. Oh, I forgot about one thing. That a part of that plan is we would have to, every person would have to agree with it, and every individual would also have to agree to take the vaccine and any boosters. We would have to take the vaccine and any boosters. That's a part of the plan. How does that sound to you? Now, if those doctors are correct and they say the vaccine will kill you, well, in a few years it will. It's just a very interesting thing. Oh, if you want the names of the doctors, look at those last 5-10 minutes of the October 23rd broadcast. Oh, I had good response from the October 30th broadcast, too, but the doctors were names, the people I named were on the October 23rd broadcast. So we are in a spiritual battle. Things are going on, and we have to recognize the dark spiritual forces that want to contain and control us. In fact, they want to steal from us, kill us, and destroy us. That's right out of the Bible. So we want to be free, and to remain free, it sure works best if we do it God's way. So let's look at what God has and live according to what he says. The whole book, know the whole word of God. And if you want to get my free preparedness pamphlet, just send me a stamped self-addressed envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And you can listen to any broadcast again by going to www.christtoday.org, which is all lowercase and no spaces. May you walk with God, and may God walk with you. Pours out to every nation, yeah. Shine your light, shine your light.